Holly. I'm pleased to be here in honoring Lodge. Appreciate the work you've done to keep the communities together with the interdisciplinary approaches, the books you've led, the award that you initiated, and also you have the crop models out of the DSAT linked to the RZWQM. Okay. I'll talk a little bit about the origin of the models, and on the start, mention that there's a lot of history behind all of you, I think, with the models. The DeWitt School in the U.S., I was exposed to Bill Duncan, Herb Stapleton, Jerry Lambert, Don Baker, Bob Peart, Bruce Curry, Joe Ritchie, and projects that started, for example, the BSSG, Biological System Simulation Group. I met with that group in 1973 when they met at Purdue when I was a grad student. And then this S107 soybean project came along in 1976, and they said, do I want to be the crop physiologist giving advice to the engineers to build a model? Projects funded by the United Soybean Board, American Soybean Association before that. I'll give some history on the Ibsenet project, and then talk about the decades, 1990s, 2000s, 2010, and talk about the models added and some things about future needs. Now, the DSAT, a vision, okay? It started with the Benchmark Soils Project in Hawaii, and then Ibsenet is International Benchmark Sites Network for Agrotechnology Transfer. Almost the same acronym, and they just slipped it in. ICASA is a later loose confederation of modelers, and now we are at what we call the DSAT Forum, our foundation. Now, here's a picture of the Benchmark Soils Project. That was Gauri Hara. And the Ibsenet Project basically was USAID funded to provide support for developing countries in a systems analysis approach, because you use computers, data collection, both together, in contrast to what's called the trial and error, what they call the white peg agronomy. You can't do enough experiments. And Henry Nick's point was that the experiments linked with the modeling led to understanding, and that way you went into prediction, control, and how you can manage. Okay, the Ibsenet decade, Gauri Hara was the PI on that project, had a number of other groups involved as subcontracts. Four models initially with this, series maize, series wheat, and the soy grow and peanut grow models, which evolved out of the Florida groups, and you see the dates there. It was USAID funded, and remarkably, USAID was funding model development, model improvement. That kind of funding to do model development not happening very much anymore. Jim Jones spent a mini sabbatical in Hawaii and solve some issues about the common inputs, outputs to the different four models and data standards. Minimum data set standard concept came out. So the products, the very first release was the DSAT version 4.2, fairly clunky at that point, 1986. And there's more history there, you'll see that later. Now the guiding principles on this is that you needed experiments, data, and to understand the performance, and we went through a process of deciding common minimum data set requirements, that you needed both models and experiments. And you had to evaluate the models for how well they performed, and then you applied the models for management decisions. I don't know the source on this, but I like this. Data without models is chaos. Models without data is fantasy. Okay? You need the two. Now, just a little picture. This is about a 1983 or 4. Jim Jones was involved in a meeting at ICRISET Center, but they discussed minimum data set for agrotechnology transfer. The concept is that you needed minimum data to just run the models. You know, weather, soils, management, things. Nothing to check performance. So the next level is evaluating model performance in a very preliminary way. And obviously, if you're doing model development, you need more information. Now, the word maximum will scare you, so we'll leave that. So the early phases, involved these first four models in the early 1980s. These were individual programs, the Fortran executables, each having their own soils, crop management, weather components, inputs. Ceres was different from the soy grow, peanut grow. And this led to issues with compatibility in terms of maintenance of the models. And the early phase was going to a common structure for the weather files, soil files, management files, so the input was common, and also to have the output be relatively similar. Graphical look. Version 4.2 released in 1986. Now, in this era, developed additional models. Crops included dry bean, rice, sorghum, aroids, cassava, potato. And this just lists the objectives that the USAID project had, and I'll skip past this. In the 1990s, it was really when the improved science era occurred, probably even more than the last few decades, because these three grow models, for example, that we worked with at UF were separate coding, but species parameterization was hardwired in a number of cases. Okay? And then if you had a little problem with the soil water balance or something, then you had to fix each one of these three models, and by the time you got to looking at a fourth or fifth. So the approach was, and Garrett Hogenboom was quite involved in that process. He took this species parameters pulled out and moved into an external read-in file so that you had one set of Fortran code that predicted all of these different crops. And that has led to a template approach, which you've been able to do for additional crops like chickpea, tomato, cowpea, macuna, fava bean, cotton, pigeon pea. You notice there are non-legumes there as well, so you just turn off end fixation and you need the roots to take up nitrogen. We also, during that time period, added coupling points for pest damage effects, and you see the papers listed there and the models this worked for. Yeah, part of the science approach is that we added single-leaf photosynthesis parameterization that scaled up to hedgerow photosynthesis, light interception, sunlit shaded approach, somewhat out of the Dutch modeling. And so we have two options, a leaf level L version, which runs hourly, and a C version, which is the old daily version. The L version, leaf level photosynthesis, has been the default for about the last 8 years since version 4.5 was released. There was an hourly energy balance version developed by Nigel Pickering. That was functioning very well from about 1998 for the next 6-7 years, but the coupling was lost about 2002. We parameterized CO2 functions. There were lookup functions for the RUE type models, like Ceres, but the leaf level photosynthesis has emergent properties of CO2 response based upon Rubisco kinetics. CO2 effect on transpiration was added by CO2 reduction of increase of conductance, increased resistance, reduced conductance. And then mechanistic end fixation was added. Now, this lists some of the products. Okay, the book, 1998, and that's still the book we distribute in the course. Documentation was probably better back then than now, kind of not keeping up. Tools, Weatherman for entering the weather data, S-Build for creating soil profiles, X-Create, which was not very good back then, it's replaced now by something we call X-Build, to create the management file, the G-Build for graphics, seasonal analysis, which you run multiple years and look at probability of exceedance type, sequence, crop rotation, and gene calc. Models, bean grow, 1990 and 94. Ceres rice, Pender Pseng created about 1993. Sorghum, Alagoswamy and Ritchie. Ceres millet, Ritchie and Alagoswamy. Cassava, Matthews and Hunt. This is the Gumkus model. Aroids, Pender Pseng. Chickpea, Pseng and Vermani. Potato, and the tomato adapted from the crop grow by Schulberg. In the 2000s, we have improved science because we went to a system that is called the cropping system model. And in this case, all the crops share the same land unit. So they can go carry over the soil water, nitrogen, and soil carbon in the next crop. And now there are two versions. Century was added, a daily version of this by Giesemann. So you have that and the Godwin soil carbon. Modularity was introduced and additional crops during that period that listed below, including sugarcane, cane grow, casupro, a sugarcane based on crop grow, sweet corn, snap bean, green bean. So the land unit module, call to the individual plants, soil modules, environmental modification management. I'm going to jump on. Now, during the 2010 decade, 2000s, we improved the coating for response to CO2, especially the C4s, phosphorus module. Eshim maize was added pigeon pea, canola, and we've got a standalone crop grow perennial forage model that will be added in the next version. So future needs, rigorous testing against ET, soil water data. We need to relink the hourly energy balance, improve soil temperature simulation, create a more mechanistic rooting function, potassium, fertility. The next release will include Sintel-Dossing's N-Week model, the ORISA model, safflower, sunflower, and this perennial forage model version. We will also have a time series optimizer that uses Bayesian optimization, which is in addition to what's called glue in the system right now. We've been working on strawberry and proposing TEF. So let me just skip this, give a little history. The DSAT Foundation, this is the website, the models of free access download with a registration. We have the policy of open source code available, requested from Garrett or Sarah Porter. We also have DSAT sprints, that is, we want to improve the models and do coding maybe once a year, twice a year, even new modelers being invited, do training courses and publications. This lists all the different versions and years, and I just kind of come down to the little point here. This last version, 4.5, we're past that, but 6,600 downloads. And already in the last year and a half, nearly 4,000 with the DSAT 4.6, about 10,000 total users. DSAT Sprint, the last one we had in July, shows the people. And here's a little thing about the training course. The next one is May 15 to 20, 2017. And it shows pictures of one, the Georgia one on top, and the one below in Arusha. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ken. Okay. We have time for one question.
Okay. That's a history.
Dennis.
Since about 2002, I believe, when Cheryl came, she's done most of it. Now, Garrett's done some programming, okay? And if we get inside, you know, I will make changes in, you know, small sections of code. I don't like the input-output stuff. But back prior to that, Nigel Pickering was doing programming, and Garrett did in the early 1990s, a lot more than now, I think. Is that right, Garrett? Yeah. No one else right now as a programmer, I would say. Wrong. Ah, Bakhtang, okay? Bakhtang Sheila.
Can I ask for this?
Yes.
If I've changed to using GitHub and your code is on GitHub, people can branch off, make code changes and ask to merge the back to make the back. So we hope that more people will actually make making code changes and they're very soon. Increase the impact of making small changes. One person doing all the code.
Is the current code still in Fortran?
Yes, it's in Fortran.
Okay.
Old fogies.
Okay. So thank you very much again.